I'm David Ebersman, Facebook CFO. Thank you for taking the time to consider an investment in Facebook.
The valuation is out of whack.
J.P. Morgan, $2 billion mistake.
In hindsight, we took far too much risk.
Jeff Thompson stepping down as CEO of Yahoo after just 4 months on the job.
Oh, Donna Summer. Oh, man. Say goodbye to Donna Summer there. Well, it is Friday, of course, and we're going to follow the stories of the week and also look forward. Ron Christie, takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist, is here in the studio. Also, Jeff Yang writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal and blogs for It's a Free Country. And Farai Chidea, who has never lost $2 billion, as far as I can tell, and owns no Facebook stock, joins us, journalist and blogger at Farai.com. Good morning, Farai.
Good morning.
So let's begin with the story that really caught my eye this week, and that was the story in the New York Times that was based on some leaked documents from a super PAC looking at some very negative tactics on sort of reconnecting Barack Obama with Reverend Wright and the whole discussion of America is, you know, against African-Americans and his sort of anti-American diatribes. First of all, Ron Christie, is this the whiteboard discussion in both campaigns on the super PAC side for Mitt Romney and for Barack Obama, how to go negative? And everyone's looking at some extreme positions, it seems.
I think it is, John. I think, unfortunately, both sides are looking to say, how can we try to drag down our opponent? How can we put our opponent in the mud and make our guy look good? And while this isn't necessarily the politics that I endorse, I think this is the politics that's going to be the reality that we're going to see this fall. We're going to see millions of dollars spent, not only on Republican side trying to bring up Reverend Wright and his character, but we're also going to see millions of dollars spent on the Democratic side trying to bring down Mitt Romney. So I think we're going to be in for the dirtiest campaign season that we've ever seen.
The money tally at this point is $40 million for Mitt Romney raised in April versus $43 million for Barack Obama. Is this sort of negative tactic irresistible for Achidea?
Well, you know, I think that you have to make somewhat of a distinction between the campaign's money and the super PAC's
right.
money. Mm-hmm. Because what, you know, Mitt Romney went to pains to say yesterday that he rejected this proposal to relink President Obama to Pastor Wright. And so, you know, I mean, part of it is a bit of a dance. I mean, I don't think any politician is super upset when his opponent is attacked, but you have to at least make an effort. And I do think that Mitt Romney would not do an ad like this. I'm not saying that he would, but to a certain extent, there's these different veils. And the money that the campaigns raise, you know, so there's money raised by the candidates, money raised by the political parties, and now money raised by these super PACs. Plus, there's always been outside groups who've lobbied on behalf of presidents. So we're just kind of swimming through, you know, chunks of ice in the North Sea or something. You don't really know where the money attack is going to come from.
Although, Jeff Yang, and permit me, you hit me with a bat if you want, there's a bit of a yin-yang here in the sense that in the Citizens United era, you can always have this negative track and this deniable sort of candidate sort of high ground, mm-hmm. and the voters still get both messages.
Absolutely. I mean, there's that whole sort of, you know, alleged lack of collaboration between the campaigns and their supporting super PACs. But the reality is that there's an agenda. It's public out there. And the super PACs do the dirty deed. They're the you know, the hit teams for these campaigns. In this case, however, one has to wonder, I mean, really bringing in race into the issue on the side of Romney pretty much seems to be a tactic to guarantee that the only people who are going to be voting for Romney are straight, you know, white males. I mean, at this point, there's so much alienation going on in other groups that it would seem really toxic to try to invoke the specter of race, especially as an attack.
But wait, let me jump on you. Where's race being invoked here? We're bringing in Reverend Wright. We're bringing in a character who has said all sorts of things negatively about the United States. That has nothing to do with race.
I think.
Oh,
that...
come on, Ron.
Oh, no. I'm actually being very serious. I mean, again, you guys say, oh, you're bringing race in. Farai, the truth of the matter is, and Jeff, I'm sure you would agree with this, Reverend Wright has said several terrible things about the United States, swore about this country, said our chickens are coming home to roost. But to suggest that just because he is an African-American pastor that somehow you're bringing race in, I think that's preposterous.
Yeah, but Ron, chickens coming home to roost is something that already has racial code back from, you know, Malcolm X. So I just have to completely
disagree with you. He said
it.
But
let's just get it. Let's just get you guys on the record, Farai and Jeff, if he was a white pastor, it would still be an issue for I and Jeff?
It would not be the same kind of issue. So I'm not arguing that what he said is, but basically they're linking Barack Obama, who is, you know, kind of like he's not Eldridge Cleaver. He's Beaver Cleaver. Let's just be clear. And they're linking him to a guy who I do think that he respected at one point in his life, but doesn't respect anymore.
For those of you in your 30s, Google Eldridge Cleaver and Beaver Cleaver to figure out what DeFry is talking about there. But those are actually good references. Jeff, let's move on for a moment, and we can come back to this if we want. A story that you really noted this week, which people might have missed, relates to the Facebook IPO.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's hard to miss this. I mean, you know, obviously, one of the big things about the Facebook IPO is that one of the founders has decided, you know, whether by his assertion because of personal reasons or because he's trying to escape a gigantic potential tax bill, Eduardo Saverin,
one of the co-founders of Facebook,
the lesser known one, who owns 4% of the company. Has renounced his American citizenship in order to take a permanent residence in Singapore. And people are saying, well, you know, it's because he wants to not pay hundreds of millions of dollars once the IPO goes through. But the reality is we're in an era right now where an act like that is very obvious and very, very, you know, much playing to this notion that the 1% can find other ways of not supporting the company.
But one thing that's interesting here is that here's an individual who's associated with Facebook, very much a part of youth culture, even though he's super, super rich. Does this play for the Republicans in the sense that, you know, we think of the dads trying to avoid taxes and the sort of GOP? But in this case, it's sort of the young bucks. And I'm just wondering if this is an issue that plays for young people who might be predisposed to the Democratic Party, maybe looking at the Republicans.
John, I think it does. I think this goes to the fact that our tax code is well out of whack, and folks say that we need to reform the tax code. Why should an individual have to renounce their American citizenship to say, you know what, I'd rather give up my citizenship rather than pay hundreds of millions of dollars? I think it's insane. But it also goes to the point that Jeff was saying. It's a very true reality that this individual said, you know what, I'd rather go and be a citizen of Singapore where they have no capital gains tax than be in the United States where we have the highest corporate income tax in the world and a very high capital gains tax rate.
Farai Chidea, I love the story that you have on your mind this week that we might have missed. Explain.
Well, there's a case in Florida, of course, the land of many controversies, where a 31-year-old woman was basically just sentenced to 20 years for standing up to her abusive husband. She fired a warning shot into the ceiling of her house, but she still got 20 years under a mandatory minimum sentence.
And that's amazing on its own sense, but in the state of Trayvon Martin, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. If he'd only been wearing a hoodie, then it would all be – no.
Oh, my God.
I mean, seriously, this is it just shows the vast hypocrisy around these laws. You know, the notion of self-defense in a real case here, trying to prevent somebody who is potentially threatening your life realistically under your own roof and getting sent, you know, to prison, and other people defending, you know, an act of, you know, at least manslaughter that occurred under very, very different and questionable circumstances with Trayvon Martin.
Any appellate review possible here, Farai?
Yes, there's definitely going to be an appeal, but you know, part of it is that she was not viewed as being part of Stand Your Ground, and the other part is that there's a mandatory minimum sentencing law that she fell under. And it's you know, mandatory minimums have also been proven to be extremely problematic in a different way than Stand Your Ground. They are often viewed as over-sentencing people, whereas Stand Your Ground is viewed as letting people off the hook. So you have to look at both sides of that.
Ron Christie, people might have missed the fact that Mitt Romney and Barack Obama are neck and neck right now.
They are, and I think this is the thing to watch, not only in the days ahead but the weeks ahead. Barack Obama was up by all stretches of the imagination in all the polls about a month ago. Now it's tightened neck and neck. The question is, why has the president slipped? Has Romney really made that much ground up with independents and new voters? Or is it the president's popularity continues to dwindle?
Or is it just the early days? It's sort of the desert zone there in the campaign, and we'll have to like revisit it at the convention time. Farai Chidea, journalist and blogger at Farai.com. Jeff Yang writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal and blogs for It's a Free Country. And Ron Christie, takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist. Let's all say it together. We'll miss you, Donna Summer.
On your radio, we
last
will.
Dance.
Although I do hate disco.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.